the carpenter's workshop, and as usual, the tools were having a bit of a discussion. Now, of course, Mr. Hammer was holding sway, and didn't take long for someone to say, "Oh, please, Mr. Hammer, we don't need you. You're always banging about, you're always making a noise. We don't really need you to be telling us what to do." "Oh, all right, I'll go." But he said, "But if I'm going, then obviously Mr. Screw needs to go as well. Because all he does is go round and round and round and absolutely get nowhere. So Mr. Screw ought to go as well." So Mr. Hammer and Mr. Screw, they know he doesn't need them. Well, that obviously upset Mrs. Screwdriver, who said, "Well, if there are no screws, all I'm going to be doing is looking like a ballerina spinning round with no particular purpose whatsoever. So I might as well go as well." What do you think? Well, this carried on. I mean, they attacked almost everyone. Obviously, they attacked Mr. Saw. Well, all he does is cut everyone up the wrong way, and usually leaves a mess when he's done. And they had a bit of a go at Mr. Chisel. What Mr. Chisel does is trying to dig out joints and so on, and again, create loads of mess. And all he's worried about is shaping things in his way, wanting things to be just how he wants them to be. And so he said, "Oh, wow." All he does is look after the surface. He's not worried about any depth. He just wants the surface to be good. Doesn't need to know anything about it. So, just sandpaper. He always rubs people up the wrong way. You get the rough side of his tongue and you're in real trouble. Okay. It's just a temporary fix, isn't it? What usually ends up is it gets stuck to itself and you never get you off. No. Oh. Always measuring things. Always making sure people measure up. Always making sure that things are exactly the way that he wants them to be. And last but by no means least, I have a bit of a go at Mr. Drill. Why do I have a go at Mr. Drill? He's always boring. Come on! Well, basically, they discounted all the tools. It just so happened that as they were finishing, the master carpenter came in. And he gathered up all his tools, took them to his workshop, got some beautiful pieces of wood, and using every single tool that he had, he made this wonderful portrait, a place for the proclamation of God. And when they finished, they looked at each other. They said, "Well, we all work together. And there's no bickering, and there's no malice, and there's no spite. We can accomplish such wonderful things in the hands of the Master." And that is what, to me, is an illustration of what a church should be about and what a church family should be about. We all have our different roles to perform. We all have our parts to play. But in order for the church to work effectively, in order for the church to be an effective organ for God, we all need to be playing our part. As many of you know, I was in the Royal Navy for a short time. And my thing in the Royal Navy was that I never asked someone if they were doing their job properly. Because you always assumed that they were, as they assumed you were doing your job properly. That's how a ship's crew works. If you have someone who's not pulling their weight, then it just doesn't hang together. But that's what it's all about, being together. It's respecting one another. Each one of us comes with our gifts. Each one of us comes with our talents. Each one of us comes with our skills and our resources. And by putting them all together, we create the body of Christ, the church. Some people think of that body, that term, the body of Christ, as being this mystical union. The only thing that's mystical about it is the Holy Spirit at work within it. The Holy Spirit at work surrounding it. The Holy Spirit binding it together. Other than that, it is us as human beings, through love, through patience, through forbearance, working together, enjoying being in each other's company. And I hope and pray that you will find it in your hearts to come to the meal on February. When we can join together informally as the body of Christ. And as with anybody, we need that little bit of downtime, that bit of relaxation. It's important. It's important that we get to know each other well enough that we can empathize with each other, we can sympathize. We can pray for each other with knowledge. Now, please don't get me wrong, and I've said it before. By mentioning people's names, the Lord knows exactly who we mean. But it means that we can pray more effectively for that person if we have a clearer idea of what their needs are. And that's important as the family of God. As the body of Christ. Some people compare the church to, there are two families in television that they remind me. The first one is the Simpsons. Yes? Homer. Now, if Homer were, I'm looking at this from the other side. If Homer were my husband, I would have divorced him many, many, many years ago. But they always come back together. At the end, Marge somehow always, and Homer, always sorted out. The other family reminds me of, and you might not remember these, do you remember the Boswells? Yeah. You remember? Yeah. The Boswells with bread? Do you remember that? Yes, do you remember that? Chicken in the middle of the table, you always say, we'll put that in some money. That was the wonderful thing. At the end of every program, they finished around that table. They heard each other's problems. They heard each other's celebrations of that day. And they shared it. They shared it together. The only times it went wrong was when someone wasn't sharing. And that, again, is so important. As a church, we need to share. As a church, you wouldn't find any church that doesn't worship together, that doesn't pray together, that doesn't do Bible study together, that doesn't have church meeting, members meeting. You wouldn't find one. Because we are so aware that the church is the people. This is just building. This is just something to keep the rain off our heads and the cold outside. It's us inside that make it the church. It is us worshipping here that make it the church. Let's look at the body for a moment. I want you to guess how many miles of blood vessels there are in your body. How many miles of blood vessels, arteries, veins, pillaries, etc., etc. Do you know how to answer? Someone give me a guess. No, not the urine. Sorry? No. Well, it's in between 60,000 miles of arteries, veins, capillaries, and all other blood vessels. Enough to go around the world 7 times. And all of that is being supported by this wonderful thing inside here, the heart. The most wonderful muscle involuntary, because we don't say, go on, beat, goodness sake, beat, keep on beating. We don't need to. Because that's what the Lord has done. He has made us in the way that we are. Our brains, no one yet has come up with a computer that can match our brain. Or they may say, yes, well, we can do a million computations in. Yeah, but the thing that you built is as big as this church, and I couldn't wear it on my shoulders if I tried. An impulse from your brain can go down to your foot and back again 300 times in a second. 300 times in a second. Isn't that amazing? And that is these are the bodies that we have been given. What does it say in Psalms? You knitted my body together in my mother's womb. Before I was even born, you knew what I would be like. Isn't that amazing? And what does it say later? You made him just lower than the angel. We are God's creation. We are the ones that God loves. And what does it say later on in Psalms? How wonderful it is when God's people are together in harmony. How wonderful it is. What joy it brings to God when he sees a church that has no spite, that has no malice, that has no edges to it, if you like, in that way, that comes together to worship God in love, in truth, in faith. And that is what we have been given. And as a church, that is what we are. Now, please don't get me wrong. At the moment, I don't have much idea of what Martin is going to bring to that body. One thing I do know he will bring is integrity. I know that, and he will bring honesty, and he will bring a sense of humour. I know that, but we look forward to seeing what he adds to the sum of this church. And each one of us, as I get to know you, I will learn what you bring to the sum One of the things I would like to say to you is this. If a friend of yours said, I fancy going to church this Sunday, will you take me to your church? What would your answer be?
Yeah.
Thank you, Peter.
Definitely.
Good. But I know, please don't get me wrong, I know that there are churches not that far away from him where you have to think twice. Is this person strong enough to take what that church might be? And that's not how it should be. We should welcome. We should love. We should enjoy being together. While we were out praying, I could hear laughter in here, and I could hear little bits going on here. Wonderful. People enjoying being together and enjoying being together as a church. That is what God's heart likes to see, likes to hear. And so, my friends, please, think of that body. Think of the different tools all coming together to form what God wants us to be. Amen.